Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast. This Week in America, great to have you with us on the program today. Websites, social media, blogs, the digital media transformation has changed everything for businesses, including sales and marketing, with the introduction of new technologies on a regular basis. Our guest on today's This Week in America says to succeed in sales now, well, you need a radically different approach. Simply, old methods won't work any longer. The key, a compelling online identity, making the most of new opportunities. Grant Leboff is a writer, in-demand speaker, making presentations at conferences and events all over the world, best-selling author, thought leader. His firm, Sticky Marketing Club Limited, is a strategic consultancy that is transforming how we sell in the digital environment. That's the topic of Grant's newest book, Digital Selling, How to Use Social Media and the Web to Generate Leads and Sell More. The book debuted at number one in the Amazon charts prior to being published. His three previous titles, Sticky Marketing, Sales Therapy, and Stickier Marketing, all went to number one on Amazon's Sales and Marketing Bestsellers chart. New environment, new paradigm, new strategy, digital selling. Author Grant Leboff with us on This Week in America. Grant, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me, Rick. Thank you.
This is an exciting new book, and you start the book and you end the book by talking about the Pike Syndrome. What exactly is that?
Yeah, it's a great phenomenon, actually. A lot of people don't know about it. It was an experiment done by Dr. Carl Möbius, who was a 19th century German zoologist. And basically, he put pike in a tank with minnows, but a glass divider between the pike and the minnows, so the pike could see the minnows but couldn't actually eat them. And of course, it went to attack them, but it kept smashing its nose against the glass. Eventually, about 3 hours later, when it had given up, Dr. Möbius took the glass away and allowed the minnows to disseminate throughout the tank. So of course, at that point, the pike could have eaten the minnows, but it never tried to. In fact, Dr. Möbius ended up hand-feeding the pike because he was scared the pike would otherwise die. And the experiment has been repeated many, many times since. I think there is one on YouTube, if you were to put in Pike Syndrome into YouTube. And unfortunately, sometimes they have actually let the pike die. The point was that the pike couldn't get the paradigm shift between not being able to eat the minnows and then having the minnows right up against it and not realizing.
You know, it's interesting because you explain the concept of digital selling. On your website, you've got a vlog and you compare it to, well, you use the story of the famous bank robber Willie Sutton. Talk about that because it really brings it into focus what you're talking about here, the whole concept.
Yeah. Well, I mean, many people will know Willie Sutton, that famous bank robber who stole about $3 million, I think, it got caught for the last time in 1950. And there was a lovely story of when he was coming out the courthouse, when he got sent down for the last time, a journalist accosted him and said, "Willie, this is now the third time you've been sent to prison. You know, why do you keep robbing banks?" And of course, his very famous answer was, "That's where the money is." And the point we make in the book is that you've got to be in sales and marketing. You've always had to be where your customers are. And increasingly, they're playing on online platforms in the digital world. That's where we as customers are looking for products and services, exploring and finding out about them. And therefore, the best companies today, if they want to be successful, they have to be playing in the same arena.
We're talking about the new book, Digital Selling, How to Use Social Media and the Web to Generate Leads and Sell More. Writer, speaker, best-selling author Grant Leboff with us on This Week in America. The book is available all across the country, wherever books are sold. Grant's website is stickymarketing.com. You can get information, of course, by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You say the fundamental development is very simple. It's this. For the first time in history, everyone has a channel. And when you think about it, one way or another, most of us do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say, because you can get, you know, into the minutiae of the details, but sometimes it's very important to be strategic and understand the you know, the revolution that's happening, the communication revolution. And it is that everybody has a channel. And what that means really is very, very simple. There's two effects of that. The first thing, if you think about it, we all got all of our media 15, 20 years ago from what I call official channels, radio stations, TV stations, newspapers. Today, a lot of what we get is from each other. It's peer-to-peer. And that means that for many, many companies today, their best channel to market is actually their customers. So customers are not just people now that you want to sell to or persuade to buy, but they're people you want to inspire to share and spread the word for you, because they all have their own channels. The other result of having a channel, though, is that in a world where everybody's got a channel, they're putting out a lot of information, and we'll all know, you'll know this, Rick, you'll understand, you know, we live in a world of information overload today.
Yes.
And what that means for business is that it's harder and harder to cut through that noise, because everything in life has a cause and effect, and the direct effect of living in a world of abundance of information is scarcity of attention.
And you're talking...
so that is the most, you know, precious resource of any business.
Yeah, and you talk about the content being so important, and you're saying basically the channel is only as good as the content and what's put on them. So the content is the key here in this case.
Absolutely. So what I get a little frustrated sometimes, because people talk, you'll have heard the phrase content marketing.
Yes.
And it's not that the phrase is wrong. It's not wrong. I mean, as you've just pointed out, content is critical, and you're right, it is. It's that I think a lot of people, when you talk about content marketing, it makes content sound like somehow it's a virtue in its own right. And one of the things I try and point out in the book is that content isn't a virtue, it's an outcome. Because, I mean, I'm telling you, you know this better than anyone, but the currency of media is content. And therefore, in a world where every individual, every company, every business owns their own media channels, content is vital, because that's what gets people engaged and coming back.
You talk about three keys, three steps to build a strong online identity. We're talking about the new book, Digital Selling, How to Use Social Media and the Web to Generate Leads and Sell More. Step number one is crystallize the purpose. Identify the big vision. Talk about doing that. You've got an example of Bill Gates with the original Microsoft a purpose that he described back in 1977. And it's just so clear. The clarity is there. You understand right from the beginning what it is he's talking about, what the purpose is.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Bill Gates in 1977, when he was talking about Microsoft, he said their vision was to put a computer on every desk and in every home. And as you said, it's simple, but it's exciting. You know, people today, if you want people to engage with your media channels, your website, your blogs, your YouTube channel, whatever else, it can't simply be about just what you do. Because for many businesses, if you're just a lawyer, or you're just an accountant, you know, how exciting can that be? But if there's a vision, if there's a purpose, if there's something you're trying to achieve for your particular marketplace, for your particular geographical location, it can be so many different things. It's something that people can get excited about. And actually, you can get excited about as well. You know, if you're a programmer going to work for Microsoft, I'm not sure how interesting day-to-day it becomes. But if your big vision, if you're working towards a world where there's going to be a computer on every desk in every home, back in 1977, that was exciting. So it's a way of exciting your customers and exciting your own staff as well, your employees. It's very, very important to have a bigger vision than just, you know, we do this well.
Step two is clarify the value proposition. Talk about that. And encompassed in that, you've got basically being brief. Get the message out there in a simple form. What exactly is clarify the value proposition?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's simply, there's a famous French scientist philosopher, Blaise Pascal. He very famously said, "I didn't have time to write you a short letter, so I wrote you a long one." And the point that I always make to people is that, you know, if you say to someone, you know, you've got 10 minutes, explain to me the value that you give, then people can normally do that. But if you say to someone, you've got 12 words or less, tell me the value you can give, they struggle. But the point is, the way the web works, the way digital works, it works on information architecture. In the same way as when you pick up a newspaper, you read the headline. And if the headline grabs you, you might read the body copy. That's how websites work. That's how everything works online. So unless you understand how you can get your proposition across clearly and concisely to your customer, you will never be able to sell effectively online. And so that value proposition, we always say, has got to be 12 words or less, where you can just explain exactly the value that you're going to give to your client base.
In the book, Digital Selling, you've got a quote from Einstein that says very simply, if you can't explain it simply, well, you don't understand it well enough. And that really says it all. I guess if it doesn't meet that criteria, go back with the yellow pad and keep working on it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I think that, you know, a lot of people, they understand the value they give in a roundabout way, but it's not crystal clear, it's not concise enough, and therefore they can't communicate it in a compelling way and quickly. And in a world where attention is scarce, as we discussed earlier, unless you can do that, your digital marketing is not going to work.
One example you used, you worked for a career training firm, and they came up with three words that really is so simple, it says it all. It was brilliant.
Yeah, so we work with a further education college, exactly right. And, you know, they were trying to distill down this purpose, this vision, and also this value proposition. And you can see how it works when they go together. So this is a vocational college that was playing second fiddle, if you like, to another further learning college down the road. That was its direct competitor. And we came up with this vision for the college because it was something that the head of the school really believed in, which was, we believe in a return on education. That was the big vision. That was the big purpose. We believe in a return on education. And the value proposition against that was three words. We build careers. That was it. But it was elegantly simple.
Yeah, it's one of those where, as you see that, you see the career training firm, you see the name, you drive past an outlet, something like that, you immediately think of We Build Careers. Grant Leboff is our guest on the program today. Digital Selling, his new book, How to Use Social Media and the Web to Generate Leads and Sell More. Book is available all across the country. Information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can link on directly to Grant's website, which is stickymarketing.com. And number three is understanding emotion. And I think this is so important. And when you think about it, emotion goes into what just about every decision we end up making.
Yeah, absolutely right. So it's something that people often miss, especially if they're in business-to-business kind of propositions, which they always think are more serious and they've got to give, you know, all the logical reasons why you should buy something. And that is true, but we can't cognitively, as human beings, we can't make decisions without emotion being involved. It's not possible. We can't do it. And so therefore, unless you understand emotionally what you deliver for your customers, in other words, are you selling candles or romance? Unless you understand what the emotional deliverable for your customers is, you're always going to be missing a trick. So the question is to understand what that deliverable is, and then with the colors you use, with the kind of language you use, with the imagery you use, you can depict that emotion, and that goes into the buying process just as logic does.
You have two great examples in the book, Digital Selling. One is IBM, salespeople back in the 1970s. They would go out and say, no one ever got fired for buying IBM. And that really made a statement, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it was a fear-based sell, of course, and we understand that. But emotion was involved. You know, the IT directors at the time didn't want to be taking risks. And therefore, you know, it was a great emotional hook, and it was a great emotional line, and it really made people think, you know, do I want to take a risk? Do I want to go with someone else? You know, IBM were the standard bearers at the time in their business. So it's a great example of emotion being used in a really kind of, you know, very cold business-to-business environment.
And you talk about Nike, goddess of victory in mythology, and the importance of nuance, the importance of language. Sometimes you don't have to beat people over the head with emotion, do you? You just put it out there and it let it speak for itself.
Exactly. People get it intuitively. You're exactly right. You know, Nike stands for winning. That's what they're all about. And people get it intuitively. Now, if you say to people what a Nike stand for, they may not use the word winning, but they'll use success, being the best you can be. They understand emotion. There's a great quote from a behavioral psychologist, Antonio Damasio, and he sums it up really, because he says this. He says, human beings are feeling machines that can think. We're not thinking machines that can feel. And I think that says it all. We're feeling machines that can think. So you have to take emotion into account if you want to sell successfully.
If you look back, it's not that many years ago when we really were limited in terms of getting information. If a salesperson walked in the front door, chances are he had a great opportunity to talk with someone. Now that has changed dramatically. Do you find, as you're working with clients and speaking at organizations all around the world, that how rapidly are businesses evolving and understanding that's not the way it works anymore? We have to approach them in a different way.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So what amazes me, I mean, of course, there are some great companies out there. There are some fantastic businesses that are doing unbelievable things, and I learn from them, and we can all learn from them. But it does amaze me how many businesses I go in that are struggling to keep up with this. And just basic questions. I mean, one of the challenges I always lay down to marketing and salespeople when I go into companies and speak to them is, where do you add value? Because, you know, 20 years ago, as you just explained, you know, 20 years ago, someone would go into a business, and because it was hard to get hold of information, it was difficult to do research. Actually, as a salesperson with some information to impart, you just added value, almost doing a brain dump, a product dump of what your company did.
Yes.
That may provide me with value because I was ignorant. Today, that's not the case. Of course, we all know that if we're interested in something, we can go online, we can go onto Google or Yahoo or whatever it is, search it, understand it, and have a really, really good idea of what it's all about. You know, you can do some pretty deep research on online today. And that means that, you know, salespeople, marketing people, when they're putting messages out and communicating, have really got to understand where they can add value to a customer, to a prospect. And if they don't do that, it's going to be very, very difficult to get someone's attention.
You've got an interesting survey there. In the book, Is Digital Selling? How to Use Social Media and the Web to Generate Leads and Sell More. This was a study, and it's a couple of years old, so I'm sure the number has gone up. The average buyer is 57% of the way through the purchase journey before they even contact a salesperson.
Yeah, so this is one of the things that people really have to think about. Purchase journeys more and more are happening online. I mean, you don't need to take our word for it. I'm sure the listeners out there, if they think about how they look for new products and services, their first point of call is probably to go online and do some research,
yes,
see what their friends are saying, check things out in forums and social media. And so much of the criteria of purchase, people have made up their mind pretty much what they want before a salesperson gets involved. And that really changes a couple of paradigms. First of all, salespeople need to be online. You know, if that is where people are formulating their criteria of purchase, if that's where they're starting to make their purchasing decisions, it goes back to our Willie Sutton story earlier on, you've got to be where your customers are playing. So salespeople have got to be online because that's where you can influence the buying decision, perhaps before they directly get in contact with you, but indirectly they're reading your blog, they're reading your literature, they're watching your videos, whatever it is. So you've got to be playing in that field. So that's the first thing. And the second thing you have to think about is, how am I going to influence the criteria of purchase when someone's so far down, you know, that purchasing decision when I get in front of them? And the only way to do that is to give them real insight. You know that aha moment that people have?
Yes.
When they go, oh, I hadn't thought of that. Oh, that's interesting. If you can give someone a bit of insight like that, it forces them to go back and re-examine their criteria of purchase. And at the point they're re-examining it, they're malleable. They may be open to some influence, because otherwise it's become increasingly difficult for salespeople to have any influence over the purchasing decision.
With us on This Week in America, writer, speaker, best-selling author Grant Leboff. He's the author of the new book, Digital Selling, How to Use Social Media and the Web to Generate Leads and Sell More. A couple of minutes left in the program, and you talk about what doesn't work and how you need to shift. And all of this is in great detail in the book. It's an excellent read. It's a necessary read for people that are involved in any type of sales presentations. One thing that you talk about is the sales funnel. In fact, I saw a story just a couple days ago on the sales funnel. The conventional funnel has been around, I didn't realize this, for like 120 years, and you're thinking, this can't work today, and you've got the new digital sales funnel. Talk about that, and if you're using the old one, you're really caught up in something that's been dated for, I was going to say almost centuries, but certainly for decades.
Yeah, you're 100% right. It's unfathomable, really, when you think about it. That, you know, imagine doing your HR the way that people did it 120 years ago. You know, you'd probably find yourself in court all the time. And yet, for some reason, you know, the sales funnel hasn't been updated since 1898. And you think to yourself, that just can't be right. And the problem is, everybody knows that traditional purchase funnel with that very wide top, that cone shape.
Yes.
And the thing about the very wide top, why was it a wide top? Because what you used to do, people used to call it spray and pray. You know, you'd put a load of direct mail out there, you'd make a load of phone calls, you'd bombard the marketplace in mass volume, and you'd get small amounts of response back, but it would give you enough to have some leads and convert and get some deals and get some return on investment. But at that very top end, it presumed that attention was abundant. And therefore, if you sprayed the market with thousands of messages, you'd get enough return on that to develop something and make some deals. The problem today is that attention is not abundant. Attention is scarce. And therefore, we have to be much more targeted and relevant and personal to people, which requires not a wide cone of spraying the whole marketplace, but a much more strategic, narrow top where we're really targeting and personalizing offers for those core market segments that we identify. But what we need is a wide middle. And the reason why we need a wide middle today is because if intention is the scarcest thing out there for all businesses, it means when we've got someone's attention and they're interested, we need to nurture them and keep that, especially in a world where the customer's the channel. And what that means is, even if they don't buy from us, how many people do they share our material or tell? And those people will be people that buy from us when everybody's got a channel. So it's a very different shaped funnel, which people can see in the book.
Yeah, in digital selling, you talk about the right way to get involved with websites, social media, blogs. You talk to a lot of people that like, yeah, we have to be there, so we're there, and we've got a fairly decent reach. And you talk about, and finish with this because it's so important, reach doesn't really count if you don't have residence, correct?
Yeah, so we talk about the two things that really matter online is reach. Obviously, you need to get to numbers, because if you only get to three people, clearly it's going to be difficult to convert in any meaningful way to have a commercial business. But you also need to have resonance. You need to have influence, if you like. Resonance is that people really take notice of what you say. Because one of the things you'll see online is you'll see the person with a million followers on Twitter, but no one cares, right?
Yes.
So they're tweeting away and no one's listening. No one's clicking on anything they recommend. Well, of course, that's equally as ineffective as only having two people engage with you. So with online, you need reach. You do need some numbers, of course. We all know that. But you also need resonance. And the thing about digital is you can measure it. You know, basically, anything that's clickable is measurable. And so you can measure the effectiveness of content, what people are engaging with, what people are sharing. And therefore, what you get online is you get the ability to keep iterating and always getting better and improving your activities.
With us on This Week in America, writer, speaker, best-selling author, one of the world's leading experts on digital marketing, Grant Leboff. The new book is Digital Selling, How to Use Social Media and the Web to Generate Leads and Sell More. The book is available all across the country. Grant's website is stickymarketing.com. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly, get information on the book and Grant. A pleasure having you on the program. So much that we covered, so much more in the book, Digital Selling. Grant, thank you for being with us on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Rick. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America, website thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.